Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, what is going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Go till 8 o'clock tonight. Lot to get into. Lakers, 7 games over 500. Actually, one of the higher marks the Lakers have had in a while to be 7 games over 500. Are the Lakers going to play any defense, or did we completely punt on that idea? Got to spend some time on that. Keeping some pressure on some of the teams in front of them. I don't want to, you know, get too excited here, but you go look at what's going on in the NBA right now. Lakers could walk away with an interesting scenario playing out by the time the night's all said and done. So we'll see what happens. I'll keep you guys updated on some of those scores around the NBA. And then my buddy, Trevor Lane, Lakers Nation, is going to join us in about a half hour or so. So we got a lot to get into. If you want to be a part of the show, you can feel free to call in 877-710-ESPN. We're also streaming the show live on YouTube. So hang out with us on YouTube. We'll take a look at the chats as we're going through the show. Let me start off first by this. So Lakers, 7 games over 500, best record in a while, and one of kind of the high marks for the Lakers this season. Kind of interesting that that's happened twice now. First, when they won the in-season tournament, it was against the Indiana Pacers. 5 games over 500 was pretty much the high mark for a long period of time. And then last night, beating the Pacers by 5, 150 to 145, an all-star game. 150 to 145? I didn't know that teams can score that much in the NBA. I didn't know you could go up 145 and still win. Kind of feel comfortable in certain parts of that fourth quarter, but that's what happened yesterday. You know, somebody mentioned this to me yesterday in on social. Kind of threw me off for a second. I'm like, all right, that's kind of an interesting topic that we can get into. But it threw me off because the Lakers have gone 15-7 since February 1st. 15-7. So for every game they lose, they're winning 2 games. Every 2 games they win, they're only losing 1. I mean, listen, if you could be, if you can do that on a consistent basis, you're a pretty good NBA team. You're a squad that can, you know, potentially do some damage down the road. That's a really, really good stretch to go on, to go 15-7. I know it's not winning 9 of 10 or something along those lines, but that's not what I'm referring to right now. 15-7 since February 1st. And the person that has sent me that on social that had kind of mentioned that to me also said, why does it not feel like they're 15-7? So I had to kind of think about it for a second. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of a fascinating way to put it. 15-7 are the Lakers since February 1st. However, do you feel like this is a team that's winning 2 of every 3 games? Why don't we feel that way? Shouldn't Laker fans have a lot more confidence of, okay, hey, this is the stretch that they've gone on since February 1st. And in that stretch, you know, obviously got a lot of important wins. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, all right, maybe this is why it doesn't feel like 15-7. I don't know where they were in the standings February 1st, but I do know on March 25th, Lakers are still 9th in the Western Conference. So maybe that has something to do with it. Okay, a couple other things that can come into play here. A couple other things I would say that can come into play could be as simple as there were some big-time games that it felt like the Lakers needed to have. I'll use as an example the Sacramento Kings. You had 2 opportunities to face the Sacramento Kings. You lost both of those games. You had that opportunity against the Golden State Warriors, which I'm not too I wasn't as upset about the Lakers losing to the Warriors. When Anthony Davis doesn't play in the final 3 quarters, you're not going to beat the Golden State Warriors, even though it seems like every other team is doing that right now. That you had some big games at critical moments of teams right there in front of you that you lost, that might have something to do with the not feeling this 22-game stretch or not feeling more comfortable about this 22-game stretch. I definitely think also because they haven't shot up in the standings that they didn't go from, well, you know, on February 1st, they were 10th in the standings and now they're 5th. That didn't happen either. You know, and it's tough to leapfrog the Western Conference when you got a ton of teams that are 10, 11, 12 games over 500, 15 games over 500. So you obviously got that challenge in itself as well. I think the other thing, and I think, you know, maybe part of the other reason of why it hasn't felt a certain way of this stretch of 22 games, Lakers, I still feel like, are a little bit all over the place. They can have a game against the Washington Wizards where you need to go to overtime to get a win against Washington at home, one of the worst teams in the NBA. But then you could also have a game where you beat Milwaukee at home and D'Angelo Russell goes out for 44 and the Lakers end up winning the game by 1 point without LeBron. So that's what I mean by all over the place. You can have a almost look like a perfect game against the Atlanta Hawks followed by a sloppy game, 21 turnovers against the Philadelphia 76ers, and it's a grinded out game and they don't have Joel Embiid. And then last night, I think, is another good example of the Lakers, even with winning, still being a little bit all over the place. You built a pretty sizable lead, 16, 17 point lead. By the way, I think every time I tweet about the Lakers, if I send anything out positive, instantly that's where the team goes to you know what. End of the third quarter, I'm like, hey, you know what, Lakers, I thought this was going to be a much tougher game. They were clearly ready to go tonight. They were consistent. They handled business. I know there was a moment early in the game, Lakers went down 11, but like that, they came all the way back and they made sure they were right back in the game and took control of the game. The moment I sent out that tweet, they give up 46 points in the fourth quarter. 46 in the fourth, they still win the game. Give up 145 points, they still win the game. They win 100. They obviously drop 150 points. So, for me, I think the way, the best way for me to describe it, and it's why I thought that post was so interesting when I was interacting with some Laker fans, was that they're 15-7 since February 1st, but it doesn't feel like they're 15-7, and that's the best way that I think I could describe it. I think it's the fact that the basketball has not been perfect. I still don't know exactly what I'm going to get every single night. And I think it's you lost some key games that really, really could have changed the momentum of the scope of potentially getting out of that play-in tournament, or at least at the absolute worst, getting out of the 9-10. So there are some factors that come into play. But, you know, I also want to give the Lakers some credit because it hasn't been pretty. But winning basketball games in the NBA, sometimes you just gotta go get a W. And they've been able to do that. And they're continuing, in my opinion, to put pressure on some of these other teams that are out there. Now, one thing that I think is really, really going to hurt the Lakers, and to be honest with you, I just don't know if there is a solution coming. I know what the solution is. I just don't know if it's coming. You're not going to win any games in the playoffs if they're playing the way they do defensively today. And I do understand that this is something for the Lakers that they just basically decided at some point during the year, they were not going to be a defensive team. They were not going to be a team that can focus on that side of the floor and you could feel comfortable about it and you could try to string together as many, you know, wins as you possibly can. And I understand it. Darvin Ham is a coach that wants to make the foundation or build the foundation on the defensive side. I'm all for that. I will take, Travis and I were talking about this morning. Give me, you know, starting pitching and defense over offense any day. I know it looks sexy to go out there and drop 130 points. I know in the NFL, that team that's out there and you got that quarterback throwing five touchdown passes. I'll take a good defense any day over a good offense because, you know, you're still going to have scores. You're still going to have players. It's not like the Lakers can't put the ball in the hoop. The problem is, they don't play any defense. And I bring this up because I thought Anthony Davis had some interesting quotes yesterday. So after the game, Anthony Davis, I'll read you the exact quote after the Lakers beat the Pacers. He says, "We were terrible defensively." I don't think we need to analyze that one too much. He gave up 145 points. They hit some shots towards the end, some deep threes. We can do what we want offensively, as you can see tonight. But we have to be able to defend, especially when we're up on a team like that. Don't try to give them any life. But at this point of the season, a win is a win, and we'll take it. But we have to learn from it as well. I don't know. It feels like the Lakers have just kind of punted on the defensive side. It feels like they have just they've made the decision, the business decision, that if we're going to win games, the best shot we have is because Austin Reeves can go get buckets, because D'Angelo Russell is a great facilitator and can go get buckets as well, because LeBron can get a triple-double any given night and drop 30, and because Anthony Davis can go get you 40 and 20 on any given night. Rui Hachimura, a very high percentage player. Spencer Dinwiddie, which had a fantastic game yesterday. I'll talk about Dinwiddie in a little bit because I do want to give that man some praise since he's been a Los Angeles Laker. I know he's been getting heat. I've been wanting to give him heat as well. I think the Lakers clearly have some expectations for him, but they can go get you buckets. The one player that I think we've all been talking about, that if the Lakers are going to make a run, and this ties back to that February 1st date. February 1st was when the Lakers beat the Celtics. It's when LeBron and Anthony Davis didn't play. That game was at Boston. Lakers were coming off the two really bad road losses, one to the Houston Rockets and one to the Atlanta Hawks. It seemed like everything was in disarray. And frankly, I thought there was a moment right there where it's like, hey, is Darvin Ham going to survive the season? But another thing that happened on that February 1st game is when Jared Vanderbilt got injured. And it seems like he's kind of the last hope left that if the Lakers are to become any type of team that can give them some minutes on the defensive side, it's going to have to mean Jared Vanderbilt is back. And, you know, as of right now, there is no word on Jared Vanderbilt. And I think without having any kind of clarity on Jared Vanderbilt, frankly, I don't think there's much clarity on the Lakers from a defensive perspective. So again, I don't know if it's going to change. We'll see what eventually happens, but not exactly an ideal night on the defensive side yesterday. And my concern is less one game against the Indiana Pacers. My concern is more, if you're going to do anything, you're going to get out of that play-in tournament, you're going to try to make some noise in the playoffs, I'd much rather have a team that knows how to play defense than a team that's just, you know, completely focused on the offensive end. Right now, the Lakers only focused on offense. All right, quick shout out here. Valvoline Instant Oil Change, proud partner of Lakers Talk. Rush into your neighborhood Valvoline and let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. I could help everybody out here real quick and save you a lot of time. Don't procrastinate. That check engine light is on. Go get your car checked. Okay, and we come back. I want to spend a little bit of time on the pressure that the Lakers have been able to put on some of these other teams in front of them. I think that part is a little bit interesting. And I think on top of that, something else to keep in mind, four games for the Lakers this week. There was some news about LeBron James for tomorrow's game as well that I'll update everybody on as well. Trevor Lane coming on in 15 minutes. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, I got to update Laker fans here. Okay, let's scrap whatever the heck I was about to talk about. Big update around the NBA right now. You know, I've said this a few times that keep an eye out for the Phoenix Suns. Keep an eye out for the Phoenix Suns, because they just lost to the San Antonio Spurs without Victor Wembanyama. This is a Suns team that already, let me walk through for Laker fans out there. I thought if there's a team vulnerable that you could potentially make a move on, and you could try to get out of this number nine spot and avoid the you got to win two games in a row, you know, obviously just to get in, I kept saying, just keep an eye out for the Phoenix Suns. A, because the Lakers have the tiebreaker against the Phoenix Suns. So obviously that's incredibly helpful right there. Let me give everyone an idea what the Suns got coming up. They got 10 games left. Pay attention to this record. They just already lost to the San Antonio Spurs, so the Lakers now will be two back from the loss column there. How about this? They're at Denver, at OKC, and at New Orleans. Those are three of the best teams right now in the Western Conference that are playing in the Western Conference, as in New Orleans still playing great even though Brandon Ingram's not there. OKC's been great all year. Denver's got the best record in the Western Conference. All right, when they're done with those three, they got Cleveland, Minnesota, New Orleans, and the Clippers all at home, all playoff teams still fighting for seeding in the East and the West. And then they wrap up the year at Los Angeles, the Clippers, at Sacramento, and at Minnesota. I think Phoenix is in trouble. I think Phoenix is in some real trouble. They got a little bit, and I don't know if it's the best comp, but they got a little bit. There's the Clippers side of it. You could put a lot of talent together, but are these guys playing together? I mean, is it a good flow of basketball or is it not? I haven't really seen that from the Phoenix Suns. I haven't seen that from the Los Angeles Clippers, or at least in the Clippers are a completely different story. I know there are plenty of games over 500, but they haven't been able, at least since, I want to call it the All-Star break, maybe a little bit before that, where they've been struggling. But a big-time loss for the Lakers that the Phoenix Suns lose in San Antonio before all those 10 games that I was talking about. One other thing to keep in mind, Utah's playing at Dallas. It's 68-63. So Utah's got a 5-point lead there. Obviously, that would be helpful for the Lakers as well. All right, let's get back into some of the other stuff that we were talking about. And I mentioned this, and I think this is the only thing that you can really do, and it kind of ties right into my the next topic that I want to get into. If you're the Lakers, all you could really do right now, just keep that pressure on some of these other teams in front of you. And maybe Lakers aren't playing perfect basketball, but they have won three games in a row. And like I said, they are, since February 1st, they've won 15 of their last 22 games. It's just at least putting some pressure on the teams in front of you. That's all you can really ask for. Phoenix, with their loss, drops from 6 to 8. You don't think they're feeling a little bit of pressure that, all right, you know, the Lakers are right behind us? Let me give you a good example. The Houston Rockets are about to win their 10th game in a row and pull within a half game of the Golden State Warriors. They'll be one game behind in the loss column. You don't think the Golden State Warriors are feeling just a little bit of pressure that they may fall out of the number 10 spot? And that's all the Houston Rockets can do. Just put pressure on the teams in front of you. We're at this time of the year where you don't want to see your squad is dug themselves this type of a hole, but at the same time, you still got a handful of games left, and a lot of it is just going to be predicated on how you do, how you take care of your own business. So with that in mind, Lakers are going on the road now for a six-game road trip. They got four games this week, so this is a very busy week. If you guys have noticed over the last couple weeks, Lakers have had, what they have last week? They had a game on Monday, didn't play again until Friday, I want to say. The week before that, they had a couple days off in the middle of the week. So that's not too common in the NBA. You don't really typically get stretches like that. I mean, heck, we've been talking about it for the last 30 days. The Lakers they didn't leave the state of California since February 26th. They basically went 1 month without leaving the state of California. They had two road games. One was against the Clippers, obviously at Crypto. The other one at Sacramento. You stay in the state of California. They have been able to kind of take advantage of home cooking and get a lot of home games, even though there were some tough matchups there. But this week, to me, is going to tell a lot about if the Lakers can actually move up or not. Four games this week. You got Milwaukee, Memphis, Indiana, and Brooklyn. They're on the midst of a six-game road trip, so they're going to be out on the road. They only have 11 games left, and out of these 11 games, eight of them are going to be on the road. Something to keep in mind. So I would say some things that are advantageous and some things that I think could easily hurt the Lakers, but they got the 21st easiest schedule left in the NBA. So they don't have to deal. Phoenix has the number one toughest schedule left in the NBA. The Lakers, like I said, sitting at 21st. Dallas is around there. Golden State is around there. So there's a few teams that are in front of the Lakers as well or right behind them. They have an easy schedule as well. The one thing that I will say that I think is a little bit concerning for the Lakers on this road trip, they're only 12-20 on the road. They have struggled on the road. I saw a little bit earlier today the Lakers send out their status report. And initially when I saw the status report, I guess I wasn't really paying too much attention to it. I was just like, all right, you know, I was actually more looking to see if there were some updates with some of the other players. Cam Reddish has been in and out of the lineup. All right, is he good to go? Bron was on there, and usually Bron is listed as questionable. Today he was listed as doubtful against the game against the Milwaukee Bucks due to his left ankle. So I thought about it a little more. I'm like, all right, why would they put him as doubtful? That makes me think that he's probably not playing tomorrow. And that makes me also think that that's a very strategic move. Hey, if we're not going to have Bron in a game, let's not have him play against the Milwaukee Bucks. And let's make sure we go get the Memphis game, which is a second of a back-to-back. So keep that one in mind. Bron is doubtful for tomorrow's game. I actually now at this point, I'd be a little surprised if he does play. If they're putting doubtful on there, not questionable, that's got to be something more of let's be strategic here. Bron doesn't play tomorrow and then get him ready for the rest of the road trip and get him ready for that game on Wednesday against the Memphis Grizzlies. Milwaukee's starting to play some good basketball right now too. Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN is presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Rush into your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Let those expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. All right, my buddy's been a guest for a number of years now. Does a fantastic job for Lakers Nation. Trevor Lane coming up next. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Lakers start a 6-game road trip starting tomorrow. They're at Milwaukee. LeBron James doubtful in that game. Keep that one in mind. I want to welcome in Trevor Lane, one of the best at covering Los Angeles Lakers basketball. Obviously does it for Lakers Nation. Trevor, let me start with this. Are you wearing your Ginobili jersey or your Tony Parker jersey right now?
Neither, but we certainly became Spurs fans in this moment. You've never asked me what I'm wearing, Alan. So it's a little bit strange, but I'm actually wearing a Lakers hoodie at this moment.
Because, Trev, I usually, with all my guests, that's the first thing I ask. I say, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? All right, so
show already, Alan.
Yep. Let me say this. For those who don't know, the Spurs beat the Phoenix Suns without Wembanyama. And we already know just how tough of a schedule that Phoenix has the rest of the way. Literally every team that they're playing are competing. They got something to play for. Some of these teams are top three, top five in the West, top three in the Eastern Conference. Man, that's a big piece of help there for the Lakers. I'll start, Trev. Let's of all the teams, and I know Lakers are sitting in ninth, and they got a 6-game road trip, and they got their own challenges that they're going to have to deal with between now and the end of the season. But if they do move up I've been saying this for maybe about a week, week and a half now, that I feel like Phoenix is the most vulnerable. Do you feel like if there's any chance they get out of nine, is that the team that you think would drop back?
Yeah, most likely Phoenix is the shot, and there's a few reasons for that. First of all, Phoenix has the most difficult schedule from here on out. They've got a very tough run here. This was supposed to be their kind of gimme game tonight against the Spurs. Unfortunately, they dropped that game. But the other piece to this is that the Lakers actually own the tiebreaker over the Suns. So that kind of gives you like an extra game in the standings there, whereas the Mavs, the Kings, the other teams that are right ahead of the Lakers in the standings right now, the Lakers don't have the tiebreaker over either of them. And the Kings, I believe, have the third worst schedule remaining, the third toughest schedule remaining. So they could potentially drop too. But again, you don't have that tiebreaker. And then the Mavs have a relatively easy schedule from here on out. And again, no tiebreaker. So the best shot the Lakers have at jumping up into that 7-8 matchup, it's the Suns. And so this loss tonight to San Antonio definitely helps the Lakers out in their efforts here. Now, the Lakers still have to win games, but the fact of the matter is if everybody else in the West keeps winning too, the Lakers winning games won't matter. So this is definitely a welcome sight to see the Suns lose this game tonight.
Were you surprised, Trev, to see the status report come out? LeBron, doubtful for tomorrow's game. The more I thought about it, the more it makes sense to me. You got the start of a six-game road trip, but you have two back-to-backs within the six-game road trip. And if you're going to be strategic here, and if the plan is, all right, well, we can play LeBron against the Bucks, but then we're not going to use him against Memphis, I'm okay with the idea of saying, okay, look, if you lost to the Milwaukee Bucks, because you could lose to Milwaukee at full strength, you got to make sure you beat that, you win that Memphis game. What did you make of just seeing in the status report that he's doubtful?
Yeah, strategically, you are limiting your likelihood of going 0-2, right? If you are going to play LeBron against Memphis and you're going to sit him against Milwaukee, because as you said, you could play him against Milwaukee and still lose that game. Whereas if you play him against Memphis, well, nothing is ever a certainty. I mean, look what happened to Boston tonight. They were up by 30 and still managed to lose to the Hawks. You never know what's going to happen in this league, but it gives you a better chance of at least getting one of those two, at least splitting those two, which going 0-2 could be catastrophic right now in the standings. So I understand why the Lakers are doing what they're doing there. Although, to be honest, Alan, I'm still a little disappointed. I kind of thought at this point in the schedule, particularly with where things are at,
sure,
that this would be time for the gloves to come off. And, all right, we're not going to sit him. We're going to play him both nights of the back-to-back. Maybe the ankle really is bothering him that much, and that's kind of the deciding factor here. But I was kind of hoping that they were going to really push down on the gas pedal here and try to move up. But, again, if they were going to sit him one game, I actually agree with this strategy of sitting him against the tougher opponent in Milwaukee and try to lock in that W in Memphis.
I'm surprised this didn't happen more during the season. And we've been saying this for the last couple of years, right? LeBron's about to be in his 19th season, his 20th season, his 21st. Here we're obviously still doing that. I'm surprised. I feel like Bron has just kind of rolled up the sleeves and said, all right, I have no choice. Unfortunately for the Lakers, that wasn't always the game plan. I mean, here we are 70-plus games in. Lakers still sitting ninth in the standings. So I know it's not ideal, but I'm with you. I strategically kind of get what the Lakers are doing. Trev, I started the show off with this, and somebody hit me yesterday and just kind of going back and forth on social, and I thought it was an interesting point, but Lakers 15-7 since February 1st, and his next point was, why doesn't it feel like the Lakers are 15-7? Why doesn't it doesn't feel that they've won almost two of every three games, or a little bit better than that. Do you kind of get the same vibe that even though the Lakers are winning some games, there still isn't this, everything just started clicking. They have a foundation of how they win these games, and it's something that you feel like it's a good long-term strategy. What do you make? The record says 15-7 in their last 22, but how do you feel about the team?
Yeah, I think there's three things coming into play with what you're describing here, and I agree. I think right now Lakers fandom is relatively down on the team still, despite, as you're saying, they've played relatively well since the All-Star break. Number one, they've lost the big games, the games against their direct head-to-head Western Conference playoff opponents. I'm talking the Warriors, I'm talking the Suns, the Kings. they're 0-5 against them. So all of the really big, the must win this game, they've lost all of those. So that doesn't feel great to begin with. Those are going to outweigh some of the other wins that we've seen them actually have. The way they're winning these games is not consistent, as you said. It's not like they've suddenly found their way. We saw them win with defense against the 76ers. We saw them win with offense against the Pacers. There isn't a consistent formula right now for this team to get wins. And then the third piece is they're still sitting in the 9 seed, and that's not really their fault. That's the Western Conference right now. If you were to take their record from right now and transport it to last year, they're the 4 seed. That's just how ridiculous the West is this season. Everyone is winning around them, and that's preventing them from moving up. So every time fans get excited and, hey, they just won 2 games. Oh, they won 3 games in a row. Oh, they're still the 9 seed. It's that letdown. They just can't seem to get out of it. So those three things combined have created this air around the team or around Lakers fandom where it doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel like you can get all that excited about the wins that they have had since the All-Star break and really buy in just yet.
Trevor Lane covers the Lakers for Lakers Nation, taking some time here on Lakers Talk. Okay, 6-game road trip. We know that it is, it's obviously, it's critical. I know we've been saying that for a long time, and I understand that every game is critical at this stage, but what is, if the Lakers go, what's the least amount of, how do I properly describe this? I think they got to go 4-2, and that's if they still have a legitimate chance of moving up. If they don't go 4-2 and they went 3-3, okay, I feel probably like they're going to probably stay where they are, and I know that also depends on what the Phoenix Suns do. What do you believe they need to do or need to accomplish in order to still have an opportunity to move up?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think 4-2 is the bare minimum, and that may even be pushing it. 5-1 is certainly preferable. Obviously, this game tomorrow in Milwaukee is going to be pretty difficult without LeBron. Milwaukee, a really good team at home. I know the Lakers got a win over them in L.A., but that's going to be a tough one. The Pacers on the road, that'll be a tough one too. And the Lakers still have 3 back-to-back sets somehow left in the season. So they've got some tough series coming up here, but again, 4-2, I think it has to be the floor for this team if they want to move up. And realistically, they probably need to go 5-1, which is a tall ask for a team that has now won their last 3 games in a row to now follow that up and go out on the road and win 5 out of 6. That's certainly not easy, but that's, as I've said, the West is tough. That's just reality of what needs to happen if they're going to move up into that 7-8 and out of the 9 seed.
Trey, I want to go back for a quick second to last night's game because you touched on it for a quick second. I want to talk about a specific player, and then I just want to talk about the team strategically, I guess you could say, from a defensive perspective. Let's start with that. Give them 146 points. I know that the Pacers can still score one of the best teams, either 1 or 2 on offensive rating in the NBA so far this year, but that – the defensive side has been a concern for a while, and I feel like the Lakers have just kind of punted on that end of this, on that end, are trying to outscore teams. What do you think of the strategy? How sustainable? Is there a way to try to make games a little bit more reasonable on the defensive side? Just what do you make of how they've been on the defensive end?
Yeah, you know, I thought they had maybe turned a corner against the 76ers defensively. And I think it is important because offense, as we know, especially in the playoffs, the old adage, defense wins championships, it still holds true. That's where you're going to find consistency is with a good defense, which can get stops night in, night out. The Lakers have been statistically one of the worst defenses in the NBA since the All-Star break. I thought they had turned a corner defensively against the 76ers, and then against the Pacers, they give up that many points. I mean, just a crazy amount of points. Fortunately, the Lakers scored a ton. They scored 150. I haven't done that since the 80s. But I think that part of it is getting a little bit blown out of proportion because of the Pacers matchup. What people don't realize is that the Lakers are actually fifth in the NBA in pace. The Pacers are 2. So you've got, with those two things, 2 teams that actually play really, really fast. We know the Pacers do, but we don't always think of the Lakers that way. But when you have 2 teams that play that fast and both teams are not great defensively and both teams really rely on their offense, the potential is there for a very, very high-scoring game. And I think that's just the way it played out in this one. But the Lakers have to get their defense sorted out. And some of that will be dependent upon the return of Jared Vanderbilt. hopefully that happens sooner rather than later, but we'll see on that. But regardless, they have to figure it out on the defensive side of the ball. They have to, at least, I think I've given up on them being a good defensive team this season. They just have to be respectable. They can't get lit up night in, night out, and to make any kind of progress in the postseason. So that's what we're looking to see there. Again, I thought we saw some good things against the 76ers on the defensive side of the ball. We did those. They got away from that against the Pacers. Hopefully that comes back, because I think they're really going to need it on the road. They've got to figure things out defensively. And a big key, Anthony Davis has got to stay out of foul trouble, because he does not defend nearly the same way when he's in foul trouble and he's trying to avoid a third, fourth foul or whatever it is. And he's so key to the defense, he has to find a way to stay on the floor and not pick up some silly ticky-tack fouls. I think that is a big, big setback for the Lakers' defense when that happens.
All right, Trev, final one, and this one I'll keep a little bit more NBA-related, so I appreciate you taking the time and joining the show. You know, we're watching the Western Conference, and Minnesota doesn't have Karl Anthony Towns, but they're still putting together wins. The Oklahoma City Thunder, 49-21, and just lack of experience. We'll see what happens. Denver, we don't even need to talk about. Do you have any understanding of what the Clippers are? Because I don't feel like I have any. They seem to be a very confusing team, and I don't know if they got any identity as well.
No, and that's exactly what Paul George said about a week and a half ago. He was talking about his team and just says they don't have an identity right now. And so they are very much a wild card. And I'll tell you this, Alan, if you look in the standings, they are very much at risk of getting caught by the New Orleans Pelicans and being on the road in their series. It looks like they're probably going to get matched up with New Orleans. And it wouldn't shock me if New Orleans beat them, particularly if our old friend Brandon Ingram comes back. That could be a big, big key for them. But the Clippers, for a little while there, they were juggernauts. They were destroying everybody. Russell Westbrook sounds like he's probably going to come back tonight. So maybe that helps them right the ship a little bit. But they have not figured out a true identity just yet. They can still get hot. They could still make a playoff run. But they've got to figure things out in a hurry. They've got, you know, 11 games or so to sort things out before they get to the postseason. And then they could draw a pretty tough matchup, maybe on the road, if they get caught by the Pelicans. So it's going to be something to keep an eye on for sure.
Trev, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you coming on. And my apologies earlier about asking you what you're wearing. I will not do that again to start the show. It was strictly business. But thank you, buddy. Thank you for your insight, as always.
No problem, Alan. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, that is Trevor Lane of Lakers Nation. We come back. We're doing a new segment called Crunch Time. Funch has got a couple NBA stories that we're going to get into, and we'll look ahead to the start of the road trip. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, great stuff as always from Trevor Lane of Lakers Nation. Appreciate him joining the show. We got a new segment here. We're starting tonight. It's called Crunch Time. I'll throw it here. Funch is going to take it from here. You know, Funch, I got to be honest, bro. I like the Crunch Time theme there. I almost see Funch's DeAndre at the free throw line. There's about a second and a half left. Lakers down one. Funch hits both free throws. That's game.
Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah,
okay. Okay.
Game,
what's a free throw routine?
I shot about like 70%, you know, back in high school.
I could see Funch very similar to KD, you know, where he like kind of got that shimmy shoulder.
Oh,
shape.
Man. No, mine was like Alonzo Mourning. Like, I would have to, like, you know, stop the sweat off of my head with the headband, with my sweatband or whatever. Yeah. That's
me. Oh, I didn't know you were coming Alonzo Mourning.
Of course,
right?
Man. That's old school, baby.
Okay. What do you got? What NBA story you got?
All right, man. The hottest thing in the NBA right now is the pursuit of the 10th spot in the West by Houston. Right now, they won. They beat Portland tonight. Last night, they were a game out from Golden State. Now, as I talk to you, they're only a half game out. One half game out, Sliwa.
All right, I got to see something here. I just want to see strength of schedule.
Oh, I got that for you, man, right now.
Okay, go ahead.
Houston, they're seventh in right now with the seventh hardest schedule going in.
Seventh toughest.
Yeah, seventh toughest. And Golden State is the 26th toughest schedule right now going forward.
Okay, well, listen, I don't think the schedule tells the whole story. I think the schedule tells part of the story. Golden State does not look good.
No,
period.
No.
I mean, even that game they beat the Lakers, what was that, 2 weeks ago in crypto?
Yeah.
AD didn't play for the entire the second, third, and fourth quarter. It was still a game.
Almost like Golden State had one really good quarter in that game too.
Yeah, and so I get I'm getting and doing the pregame with Michael, and you know you're obviously there. You could tell his frustration with that team as well. They're so inconsistent. But do the Rockets actually walk away with the number 10 seed? I know momentum is everything. DeAndre, you got to pick one of the two teams right now. You taking the Rockets or the Golden State Warriors at number 10?
With the way the Rockets have been playing right now, I think the Rockets can squeak by and get that 10 seed.
Wow.
Only because I feel like there's some internal stuff going on within the Warriors, you know, with Steph Curry, Draymond, and Klay. I feel like, you know, they have some internal stuff within the team.
I'm going to make a guess here. And by the way, I want to lean towards the Rockets, but I find myself thinking that the Warriors will figure it out and find a way to hold on to number 10. Funch, they holding on or no?
Yeah, well, the Warriors are veterans, so I got to go with the Warriors, man. But here's a key thing, key date, next Thursday, April 4th, Warriors at the Rockets.
Oh, so they still
got
to play
each
other.
They got a game. They got a game, baby. One more game, and that's probably going to determine who gets a 10th spot.
Is Shingun still out?
Yeah, he's out. He's out. I think he's out for some time.
But there's a report that he could be back by the end of the regular season, depending on where, you know, what happens with them.
Mm. You know, the NBA, I mean, talk about the NBA playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. Why are we paying attention to the 9, 10, and 11 in the NBA?
I don't know.
And I am.
We're there. That's why, Slee.
Well, here's the fun. Yeah, maybe it's because the teams that are there. I mean, KD's in the play-in. Luka right now is in the play-in. Steph Curry's in the play-in. LeBron's in the play-in. Maybe it has to do with that, but when that concept was originally out there, I'm like, why do we care what happens 6 through 10? And here we are talking about it again.
Well, I think your argument might maybe go towards the East because, like, look at 9, 10,
yeah, you're right.
8 in the East. There's Philadelphia, Chicago, Atlanta, Miami. Like, who cares about those teams?
Yeah, I think that falls in. I think Miami, the only, you know, relevant team of that mix that you think you can make some noise. You got another one over there?
Yes. So we're going to stay with in the West.
Okay.
We got the Clippers. They got Russell Westbrook reportedly coming back tonight after a month on the bench, you know, with his injury. Now we have the Pelicans only a half game behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And we got like a month left. What do you think? The Pelicans, Clippers? What do you think?
If you told me right now Pelicans are playing Clippers in the first round, I'm picking the Pelicans. And I don't think I'm hesitating.
Wow. Brandon Ingram's on the bench right now. He's hurt.
So Ingram's got to be there. Obviously, he's got to be healthy.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm going to hesitate, and I'll tell you why. What's the identity of the Clippers? I don't know what they are.
Yeah, I me neither.
You know, I think there is something about the Pelicans who, again, they got to have B.I., he's got to be healthy. But I think there's something about every guy knows their role. Zion is balling out. You got other players. C.J. McCollum is like a perfect complement to what they're doing. B.I. is a nice complement to what the other, you know, obviously what Zion brings to the table. They actually have a team. I feel like with the Clippers, it's you have the ball. Okay, next possession. You get the ball. I don't know really what the Clippers are. And
a lot of one-on-one play.
Yeah, a lot of one-on-one. A lot of iso ball right there.
I don't know, man. I just feel like Ty Lue in the playoffs, if you take them right now, I mean, he makes adjustments, right? I haven't seen Willie Green in the playoffs yet with the Pelicans. So,
well, DeAndre, I'll tell you this. You're not wrong there. I think sometimes your coach can only do so much. I mean, exactly. You heard Trevor Lane talk about it, that Paul George was talking about their identity. What's their you're this late into the season, and they're questioning their identity. And It's a team that at one point was, I think for 30 minutes, had the best record in the Western Conference, and then
And who's the undisputed number one on that team? Is it Kawhi or Paul George? Who gets the ball with the last 2 seconds left in the game?
Assuming it's Kawhi, right?
Assuming it's Kawhi, too.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's Kawhi. So, I'm thinking it's going to go fall on that front. All right, fellas, good stuff right there. Appreciate it. First time we did crunch time. Funches hits both free throws. I got a technical foul. I was thrown out of the game. Okay, here's what – just quick preview here, what we got coming up, you know, obviously for the rest of the week. Tomorrow, Lakers and the Milwaukee Bucks. And we know that Bron is doubtful for this game. That is the start of a six-game road trip. Not surprised if Lakers lose tomorrow. Not that they're punting on the game, but they're being strategic of saying, all right, we'd rather have, give us the game against the Memphis Grizzlies where we feel like we can get a guaranteed W rather than a Milwaukee team that's certainly playing a lot better basketball right now. Probably have some payback for the Lakers too after they beat them by one. That was a couple weeks ago or so. Okay, quick shout out. Thank you to a couple of voices you already heard. Michael Funches, DeAndre Hawkins. Thank you to Mario Ruiz as well, doing all the work there. LA, appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your night.